fear. We're told so many different things about fear, about how we should feel the fear and do it anyway, or how fear is just false evidence appearing real, and all these things. It's all nonsense. What am I on about? Well, that's what we're going to discover in this episode of the Keith Blake Vulnerable Radio Show, where we learn exactly why fear is your friend.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Let's imagine you're on a journey. You're in the car, driving somewhere nice. Doesn't matter where you're going. You're just in the car, relaxing, enjoying the drive. Maybe you got some of your favorite tunes on the radio, on the stereo, listen to the music, beautiful scenery, totally empty roads. You're having a good time driving wherever it is you're going. Everything's going well. And all of a sudden, bleep, bleep, this light appears on the dashboard. Oh my God, a light on the dashboard. What do you do? You've got three possible courses of action here. First thing you could do, you could slam the brakes on, bail out of the car, run off screaming in terror, vowing never to go near a car again in case a light comes on. Bit of an overreaction, but you could do it, right? Or the second thing you could do, well, you could, just ignore it. Ignore that light, pretend it's not there, and just carry on. Whatever that light's on about, it's lying. It's complete nonsense. I'm just going to carry on driving, right? You could do. Probably far too many people do that. But we know what happens. Sooner or later, whatever caused that light to come on makes things worse. Because whatever caused that light to go on isn't going to go away. It's not going to magically fix itself. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse until eventually, for whatever reason, the car breaks down. Maybe it's the fuel warning light. You run out of fuel. Maybe it's the oil low light. You run out of oil and your engine seizes up. Bam! You've now got to get a whole new engine for your car because you completely ignored it. But that's something you could do. You could ignore the light and just carry on anyway. Or there's the third option. You could acknowledge the light for what it is. It's not trying to scare you. It's not trying to stop you driving. It's simply your car's way of going, hey, sorry to disrupt your drive. Sorry to interrupt your journey, but there's something here that you need to take a look at. So you can acknowledge the light for what it is. It's just letting you know something needs attention. So you acknowledge the light. You work out what attention is it that's needed from here. And then you work out how quickly it needs to be addressed. And then you work out whether it's something that you can address or whether you need to bring an expert in. For example, you might notice that it's the light saying you're running low on fuel, which could point you might think, well, hey, it's all right. That means I got about 30 miles left in the tank. I'm only going another 5 miles, and I know there's a petrol station there, and I've got a spare can in the boot anyway. It's all cool. I'll fill up next time I start the car. Might be the oil warning light, in which case you go, you know what? I'm just going to pull over onto the side of the road, top up the oil a bit, check there's no leaks, keep an eye on it in case I need to get it fixed. Or it might be this service interval light coming on, basically just telling you, hey, you know what, some point in the next couple of thousand miles, you might want to think about booking me in for a service. It's not something you have to do immediately. When you get a chance, phone your garage, book your car in to get the experts to service it. But that's what you do with a warning light, right? You recognize it's simply drawing your attention to something that needs to be looked at, figuring out what it is, how urgent it is, and whether it's something you can do or something else can do. Something someone else can do, even. That's all a light means, right? Now let's imagine you are in a meeting because you are part of a project. You are working on a project. This project is something that you believe in with all your heart and soul. Every fiber of your being believes in this project, wants this project to succeed massively. It is incredibly important, and you will do anything and everything to make sure this project succeeds, right? You're in this meeting, project meeting, and you know there is something that may have been overlooked. There's something that needs attention. Maybe it's a calculation that might not be correct. Or maybe it's an assumption that was made that shouldn't have been. Or maybe it's something that was overlooked. Whatever it is, there's something which you know could jeopardize this entire project. Hey, if this thing isn't addressed, the potential consequences are disastrous. Potential is this entire project could collapse. So you're in the meeting. You raise your hand to say, look, there's something here we need to take a look at. Can we take a look at this? The chair of the meeting shuts you down. Sit down, shut up. We'll come to that later. Oh, great. What do you do at that point? Do you just go, well, I tried. Sit back, relax, and just wait and see what happens? Of course not. Because you want this project to succeed. So you'll try and get their attention throughout the meeting. They keep ignoring you. After the meeting, you go to the chairman. He ignores you. You take it to your manager. He ignores you. You take it to your boss's boss. He ignores you. You take it to the CEO of the entire company. She ignores you. They all ignore you. You keep shouting louder and louder and louder until someone somewhere listens and takes a look at whatever it is that's got your concern. You ain't going to shut up. You ain't going to stop and give up and go, well, I tried my best. Meh. So what if the thing explodes under those conditions? Eh, I did my best. Nobody listens. Not my fault. No, you will keep escalating it higher and higher and higher up the chain until someone takes notice. If they don't, hey, you go to the press, you go to regulatory bodies, you go to the government, you keep escalating it higher and higher until somebody pays attention. What you don't do is just go, well, they're ignoring it, I'll let it go. Another thing we need to consider, this is all going somewhere. Trust me, this, stick with me, this is all going somewhere. It will all make sense in a few minutes. Oh, thank goodness, Keith. Trust me, this will make sense. The other thing we need to think about is your unconscious mind. Your unconscious mind's purpose, its primary function, is to keep you alive, to keep you safe, but mainly to keep you alive. Keep you alive, keep you safe, make sure that help you to achieve your dreams and ambitions and everything. But its primary function is to keep you alive and keep you safe. Everything it does is based on that. Which means when your unconscious spots something which could constitute a threat, it's going to let you know about it. It's going to alert you to it. It's going to want to make sure you take action. Now, whether that action is run away because that saber-toothed tiger is about to eat you, or whether your action is to take a look, realize there's something you can do to put protections in place, or whether that action is simply to take a look and realize, I see why you think that's a threat. You haven't looked at this bit. When we consider that, now the threat disappears. But that's what your unconscious wants you to do. It wants you to acknowledge that there is a threat here and to take whatever steps are necessary to mitigate that threat. If your unconscious perceives as a threat and it brings it to your attention and you ignore it, He's not going to sit down and shut up. He's going to escalate that. He's going to escalate the warning, bringing it higher and higher, getting louder and louder, making more and more noise, doing whatever it takes to get your attention so that you pay attention to whatever this threat is. That's your unconscious's job. Of course, it's not going to let it go. What's all this got to do with fear? Well, we've been talking about fear the whole way through this. Fear is simply that warning light on your dashboard. Now, with a car, you do have an advantage because the people who designed and built your car didn't just put a single light in there that comes on regardless. You don't have a single light that comes on to mean you could be out of fuel, or you might have run out of oil, or we might need to service it, or perhaps your seatbelt's jammed, or maybe just a light wants to come on. You have different lights for different things. And each one is very clearly labeled, and there's an instruction manual that lets you know exactly what's what. Very clear details, exactly what each thing means. Brilliant. So a light comes on, you know immediately what it's talking about. Oh, look, that means I've still got my rear fog light on. Huh, silly me. Click, switch it off. Unfortunately, we don't come with instruction manuals. And our unconscious, when it's letting us know that there's a problem, it hasn't got this nice big dashboard and array of lights and different things it can put on. It just flags up, there's something wrong here. Which makes it a little bit harder for us. But as long as we acknowledge it, we can start working with it. And that's what fear is. Now, fear isn't you raising the concern in the meeting. Fear is you escalating it to the CEO. Because when your unconscious spots something that could be a threat, something that could be wrong, something that needs attention. Hey, sorry to disrupt your day. This thing here needs your attention. We're just going to check what's going on here. Its first port of call isn't fear. No, that's escalating it way up the chain. Its first port of call might be that little, you get gut instinct or your intuition or that voice at the back of your head, or just that feeling, it's just something, I don't know, something just doesn't feel quite right here. You know that feeling, right? You know, where you're doing anything. I don't know, there's something I just can't put my finger on, something not quite right. I'll ignore it and carry on. That was your unconscious raising its hand in the meeting saying, sorry, can we have a look at this? And you just ignored it. Of course your unconscious is going to carry on raising it, escalating it. And that's what fear is. All fear is letting you know something needs your attention. That's all it is. There's a lot of nonsense talked about fear. Fear just means false evidence appearing real. Yeah, that fuel warning light's pretty false evidence right up until the point when your car splutters to a halt because it's run out of fuel. Fear isn't false evidence appearing real. Fear is a very real indication something needs attention. Hey, I'm going to face the fear and do it anyway. If it was that easy, we'd all be doing it. If it was that easy, none of us would be scared. It's not that easy because when you're scared, it's not easy to do the thing that's scaring you. And B, rightly so, because that fear is telling us there is something we need to check. So feeling the fear and doing it anyway is just ignoring that oil low lamp when it comes on your dashboard and then wondering why your engine seizes up. When we experience fear, it's just telling us something needs our attention. Something needs to be looked at. So the first thing to do when you get fear is acknowledge that. Now, it doesn't mean that just because we experience fear, we should immediately stop whatever it is we're doing and go in the opposite direction. That's like slamming on the brakes, bailing out of the car, running and screaming because a light came on your dashboard. That helps no one. when you experience fear, it doesn't mean you should not do that thing. Oh, I'm a bit scared about going on stage, so I'm never going to go on stage. Nonsense. That's not what it means. It's not what I'm saying at all. What fear does mean, though, is there's something that you've overlooked. And so when you feel this fear, feel it, acknowledge it, thank it. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I'm sorry everybody further down the chain of command completely ignored you. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. Let's figure out what's going on here. So acknowledge it and work out, what is it I'm scared of? What is causing this fear? Well, you can do this. Use a chain of six whys. Remember, if you've ever had young kids, you know they will ask, why? Gets annoying, right? But there's purpose behind why. Ask yourself, what is it specifically that I'm scared of? Oh, I'm scared to go out and speak on stage. Okay, why? Why am I scared to go and speak on stage? Really analyze, what is it about that that's causing you to be scared? Maybe it's, I'm scared I'll forget what I'm going to say. Or maybe it's, oh, I'm scared they'll laugh at me. Or I'm scared they won't laugh at me if you're a comedian. All manner of things. But work out, what is it that's actually behind that fear? And then ask yourself, why is that scary? And you'll get an answer. And then ask yourself, well, why is that of a concern? And keep digging down and down and down. The more you dig deep, you will eventually find the kernel, the thing that's caused all of this. It's like that grain of sand inside an oyster. Peel away all the layers of the pearl, and you get that grain of sand, that little irritant, that thing which is the root cause of all of this. Then you can figure out, now you know what it is, you can work out, is this a genuine concern, a genuine thing that is wrong, a genuine threat? Is this something where I can put something in place? For example, oh, I'm scared that I might forget what I'm going to say. Not a problem. Cue cards. Jot your key bullet points on the cue card. Have them there. Or it might be something a bit more fundamental. That means you need a bit of preparation or something you need to look at. I'm scared that I might overrun because I don't know how long I'm supposed to be there for. Cool. That tells me I needed to find out a bit more about it. I can go and find out a bit more. Now I'm prepared. That's all fear is telling you. It just means there's something you've overlooked, something that needs your attention. Once you dig deep, just take a few deep breaths, pause, analyze. Why am I scared about it? What is it about this that's scaring me? Why? Dig. You'll get to the core. You'll be able to resolve that. And you'll be able to move forward. Now, here's a really, really interesting thing that happens when you do this. The more you do this, the more you start listening to your unconscious, the more you start working with it, the easier it is for your unconscious to work with you. And the easier it is for you to start spotting these signs sooner and sooner and earlier and earlier. You start listening more to that gut instinct, that intuition, that little niggling feeling at the hairs on your back of your neck, or that little voice in the back of your head. You start to pick up on those a lot more readily, a lot more quickly, which means you then address the situations much sooner, which means they don't have to get escalated all the way up into full-on fear. Paradoxically, the more you work with your fear, the more you realize fear is your friend, the more you work with it, the less fear you will have, because you're hearing these warnings much, much earlier in the process. Cool, huh? So fear is your friend. Ah, but Keith, what about phobias. What about phobias? I mean, if I have a fear of a spider, what am I supposed to ask? Why am I scared of the spider? What specifically is it about the spider's legs that me? This doesn't make sense. Even with phobias or other habitual fears, the fear is telling you something. And in this case, the fear is telling you that way, way back in your dim, distant past, it's more distant for some of us, I have to say, but way back in the past, when you first learned how to deal with spiders, that lesson wasn't as positive as it could have been. Something happened which caused you to learn at that point that these things are dangerous and scary and you should avoid them at all costs. So what this fear is telling you is you need to revisit that. Revisit what you learned about that thing. Change the emotion around that very first event. Look at it from a dispassionate viewpoint and learn the positive lessons that you can learn. Some people can do that themselves. Sometimes you need to work with an expert. That's the sort of thing that I help people with when I help them conquer their fears, to conquer their phobias, completely transform their deepest fears into their greatest strengths. Because it's all about recognizing this fear isn't actually something that's scary. And when I change the meaning that has changed my unconscious perceptions about this thing, it can turn into a massive strength. But even in those cases, fear is your friend. It's simply telling you, hey, you didn't quite learn the right thing there. Let's go back and revisit it. In all cases, fear is your friend, despite all the things we get told to the contrary about how we should conquer it and man up and face the fear and do it anyway, and it's all false evidence appearing real. Fear is very real. Fear is very helpful. Fear is your friend. When you work with fear, that's when you start to create even more powerful results. That's what I wanted to share with you this episode. I hope you found this useful and interesting. I'd love to know your take on this. Let me know, what do you think about this? Please do remember to give us a like, give us a subscribe, review us, rate us, leave some comments, share this episode far and wide. Come back and check out other ones. And above all, let me know, what do you think? What's your thoughts? What's your take? Can you see how fear is your friend? How are you going to do things differently now that you realize that fear is your friend? Thank you so much. I will catch you in the next episode. And remember, until then, take care, look after yourself. Remember that change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life. Bye for now.
Been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.